Shalom Aleichem. I wanted to give you, it's called a vorspeis, an hors d'oeuvre from the Sefer, which I hope will, as they say, whet your appetite to look at the Sefer and to explore a little bit of what we put down and what we printed. It's a story, an incident that happened to me, an incredible incident. And I'd like to just explain it to you and show the enormous significance of what is behind prayer. I learn in the Kollel in the Mir. One day, my chavrusa turned up over 3 hours late. And that was highly unusual for him because he's a punctual, he's a Ponovitch, an Israeli, a very reliable exact chavrusa who never ever comes late. So when he turned up, I said to him, Hananya, well, what happened so late? He turned up at 12:30. So he said to me, I'll tell you what happened. Last night, I received a call from a cousin, and she said to me that tomorrow morning in Yerushalayim, in Beis Tevei Ha'ir, if you know it's next to Ger, a cousin of ours is making a bris, and maybe you should come along. And that's all she said. And the bris was supposed to be, I think he said, at 9:15. So I thought to myself, so if it's at 9:15, and it's about, bris usually takes 10-15 minutes, and if it's on time, so I would be in the koiler, maybe a few minutes late, so I didn't bother calling you. But let me tell you what happened. When I turned up at the hall, inside Beis Tevei Ha'ir, there were hundreds of people there. And I didn't understand. It was a bris. You had a bris, you normally have 30, 40, 50, maybe 60 people, but you don't have hundreds of people at a bris. And I inquired what exactly had happened. I knew the cousin. I had a distant cousin. And I asked why so many people were here. And they turned around and said to me, didn't you know that this couple had waited 32 years to have a child? They now had twins. The lady was 52, and they waited 32 years. A boy and a girl were born. And anybody and everybody who had any connection at all to this couple came to the bris, and it was packed. It was packed. And I stayed for the bris, and then afterwards they had made a magnificent banquet, like a chasna, in the hall there, and everybody stayed, and I felt I had to stay for a short while because it was such a remarkable event. You know, a lady waits 32 years to have a child. So I went inside the hall and we were all sitting there and I was going to leave very shortly. And in the middle of the Suda, a man came forward to the head table, took hold of the microphone and said as follows. He said that I live in Zurich. And when I heard that this couple had twins, I felt I had to come in, and I'll tell you why. Over 20 years ago, we were very close friends with this couple, who now live in Momema, and I was very close with him in Zurich. We were close friends, and I had an idea. One night after Mayriv, I went over to him when there was no one else in shul, late at night in the shul in Zurich, and I said to him, you know, I'd like to give you a suggestion, maybe an idea that you and your wife can think over and maybe it's useful for you, a piece of advice from a good friend. I know it's very difficult for you, you haven't had children, and there's a lot of anxiety and stress. It's clear, you can see it on you, and it disturbs me, and I'm worried for you. I would like to make a suggestion for you and your wife, and that is that you should now realign your married life, that you won't have a child now. And that's the way life will be, and you'll become accustomed to it, and you'll move on from this difficult period. And when I said that, my friend turned around and said, no, I can't accept that. I hope, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu one day will have rachamim on us and grant us a child. We've been married over 12, 13, 14 years, I don't know how many years it was, But no, I don't accept that advice. I said, okay, listen, I meant well. Please don't take me wrong. And I went home. This is what he said to everybody, and my chavrusa told me. When I got home, my wife was still up in the kitchen. And She asked me why I am so late, why I came back late. It was late, and I said to her what had happened. And I told her what I had told my friend. And my wife let me have it, but real good. She screamed at me, and she said to me, "You have no right to say such a thing to anybody. Who are you to tell somebody that they're not going to have a child? What right do you have to intrude in their private... How do you know?" So I said, "No, I said it out of good intentions, and I meant well." She said, "Of course, you have no right to say such a thing. How can you say that?" And my wife screamed at me. I screamed back. And we had a screaming match. And she was angry with me, and I said, "Of course I can say it. I'm a good friend." And eventually, I got so aggravated with my wife, I banged my hand on the table. I banged on the table, and I said, "Now listen, come on. If they ever have a child, I'll sell my factory in Zurich and go and live in Yerushalayim as a Ben Torah. If they ever have a child." Once he said that, there was like a buzz in the whole hall. He said to me, hundreds of people, and they suddenly kept crying. He said, "They now have twins." And the question, of course, is did I make a neder? Was that a vow? And I came in yesterday from Zurich, and I went straight to Bnei Brak, and I asked Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky if what I said was a neder, and I'm chayev on my vow, on my neder. And Rabbi Chaim said unequivocally, 100%, of course you're chayev. You must now sell your business, your factory, and come and live in Yerushalayim as a Ben Torah. That's what you said. And he just said to everybody, "Well, I'd like to say to all of you, Shalom u'lehitraot, and I'll be back very soon." And he made a whole drosha that this neder was waiting for years and years in Shomayim, until eventually those children have a special zchus, because of those children they brought a family into learning Torah. You can imagine the drosha that he made, but it was humorous, but it was beautifully said. My friend told me, and he said, "So I'll see you all very soon. Because of these children, I wanted to share it with you. I'm going to come and live in Yerushalayim now." 2 weeks later, after this occurred in Romema, I lived in Haunov at the time, and a friend called me up who lived in Beit Vegan. And he said to me, "You have no idea what just happened on Shabbos. Let me share with you." A close friend. He said to me that the yeshiva Kol Torah in Beit Vegan had built a new dining room. And the first simcha on Shabbos, it was made for Kiddushim as well, was a couple who had a child after 32 years. They had a little girl. They made a Kiddush in the yeshiva. And everybody who had connection, everybody came in. It was a great simcha in Beit Vegan. And my friend on Motzi Shabbos told me this 2 weeks after the previous incident. And he said, we were all sitting there, and the Rosh Hashiva was sitting at the front table, and a man came forward to the front of the head table and said as follows. My friend on Motzi Shabbos told me the following. This man came forward and said that, you know, this is a beautiful simcha, the first simcha in the new dining room, and a couple who waited 32 years, and the woman was 52, to have a little girl. It's a beautiful simcha, the Kiddush. He said, but I don't know if you know, but 2 weeks ago, another couple who live in Romema also were blessed with children after 32 years. They had twins in Romema. You might have heard about it, but you might not know this point. He said to everybody, which my friend told me, less than a year ago, these two women met at a chasna in Yerushalayim. They were both living in Yerushalayim. And one woman went over to the other woman and said, I'd like to talk to you outside the hall. I want to share something with you. So they went outside, and the one woman said to the other woman, you know, I know how much pain you've been through and what you're going through, but I didn't want you to hear from anybody else, but I want to tell you that I am, Imitz Hashem, expecting a child after 32 years. Said the other woman, me too. They looked at each other and they grinned and started laughing with tremendous joy. The other woman then turned round and said to the other woman, you know, I want to tell you something. Since we're both expecting a child, at the same time, after 32 years, I want you to know that the following. And this man explained to everybody that these two people had lived in the same apartment building in Zurich, on the same floor across the alleyway, across the hall, one on one side and one on the other. And they both decided to come and live in Yerushalayim around the same time. No connection. One went to live in Beit Vegan and one went to live in Wamema. And now, these two women had met and they both discovered that they were expecting a child at the same time. The one woman now turned round to the other woman and said, you know, when you moved into this apartment building, you know, I saw it. It was clear you didn't have a child. And so I decided to myself, I saw your grief and I saw your anxiety. I decided, said the one woman to the other woman, that I would daven for you. I would pray for you that you'll have a child. Said the other woman, me too. In other words, these two women quite independently had come and live in Yerushalayim. They were neighbors in the same building, on the same floor in Zurich. Each went their own way. Now had been davening for each other for over 32 years, and one gave birth to twins and one gave birth to a little girl. And each had been davening for the other for over 32 years without neither knowing. He said, I just wanted this to be known at this Kiddush. And he sat down, and evidently there was an enormous excitement in the hall. There was in the dining room of the yeshiva, and quite a few people were crying, and the Mashgiach of Kol Torah, Reb Yitzchak Yeruchim Bodiansky, got up to speak, and he said as follows, that the unbelievable Hashgacha, that they were both answered within 2 weeks of each other, and they'd been davening for each other for 32 years, and there was an unbelievable Hashgacha potis behind this. Reb Yitzchak Yeruchim said as follows, I'm asked often to speak at different simchas, and I must tell you, this is the first time ever that I'm ever been lost for words. I have nothing to say. I find it an incredible hashgacha, what a bracha, behind the prayers of these two women. But I can only tell you that my father-in-law, Reb Shlomo Zalman Neuerbach, had always said that when it comes to prayer, you never give up. You keep on going, you keep on going. And it's clear that these two women had just kept on going for 32 years, davening for each other without either knowing the other. What was going on, and they were answered within 2 weeks of each other. That is the second part of this story. About 2 or 3 weeks after this, when my friend had called me up, I was in Los Angeles, and I had walked into the Kollel of Reb Chaim Fassman in Los Angeles. And there, in front of the Beis HaMedrash, was Reb Matisyahu Solomon, who I know, Shia Bari, from Gateshead, when I was in Gateshead, who's now the Mashgiach of Lakewood, and I went over to him. I know him from Gateshead when I was in Gateshead Yeshiva. And I told him about this amazing, amazing hashgacha between these two women. And he said to me, yes, I know, I heard about it. These two bochrim had evidently learnt in Gateshead, and he heard that they both had a child. But then I said to him, I don't know if the Mashgiach knows, but that they had each actually been davening for each other for 32 years, and he didn't know that. He was unaware that each woman they had met a year ago before they gave birth, and it turned out that each had been davening for each other for 32 years. And when I told him that, he said to me, well, I would like to add something to tell you. He said to me that the Rav of Zurich was actually English originally, one of the Rabbonim there, and the shul where these couples had davened when they were in Zurich, the Rav of the shul was someone called Reb Daniel Levy, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a great Talmud Chacham, Talmud of Reb Moshe, who was originally in England and became the Rav of the shul in Zurich. At the end of his life, he was very sick, lo yalenu, and he lost his eyesight. And it was difficult for him to pray, to daven regularly, and always his son would stand next to him during davening and prompt and correct the father at any time if he went wrong. When it came to Shemona Esrei, and it came to the bracha Refa'enu, he mentioned the name of these two women. After davening, the son turned round and said to the father, Abba, you're still davening for these two women. I think at the time it was over 25 years. It was 25 years. You still davened for them all this time. You still... And Rav Levi turned around and said, of course, you don't stop. You carry on. And Rav Matisyo then said to me that it's clear that these two women and Rav Levi just carried on. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, that ani tomid ayachel hoisafti al kol tehillot filasecha, I'll continually daven, I continually hope, ani tomid ayachel, I'll carry on as much as I can. So what Rav Shlomo Zalman Oybach, Zecher Tzadik Levoch, had said these two women had done, and Rav Levi had done. And that's the story that we have here, a remarkable story of Hashgacha Pratis, a phenomenal story of caring of one woman to another, and just how far it goes, the significance and the power of prayer, especially davening for somebody else. But I would like to ask a question on this incident, which really goes, I think, right to the heart of what happened. How on earth does a person continually daven for something for 32 years? My question comes from a pasuk in Koheles. Shlomo HaMelech says, Dibarti ani im libi, I spoke with my heart. And then the Medrash brings down, Halev ro'eh, the heart sees, and brings a pasuk, libi ro'eh. Halev shomea, an pasuk is brought. Halev medaber, and then the Medrash carries on. Halev nofel, halev oimed, halev tzoek, halev misnachem, halev mitzta'er, halev mitrakech, halev mitatzev, halev, and it goes on and on and on. And I counted all the different mood swings in the heart, and you come to, at the end, 58. Halev ose zodoin, halev ose sto, halev miskade, non-stop. The lev physically in the anatomy of a person is phenomenally consistent. It carries on pumping the blood and never stops 1 minute, physically. Emotionally, it's the most unstable of all organs because it keeps on changing moods. The lev can be uplifted and then can collapse. You can be crying and then laugh the next second. The lave is unbelievably versatile. It has no consistency. It continually switches and changes. If that's the case, how can you keep on davening for a worry or a concern? You give up. The lave mityaesh. The lave gives up. The lave mitatsev. It's despondent. How do you keep on going? How do you manage to daven in this particular incident, which I think, and I discuss in Mitzvah Shem and the Sefer, you'll see, I hope, I call it a certain situation in prayer which needs addressing. How do you continually daven for something after many, many years? And I would like to suggest a formula. And I called it the Yisroi formula. I'll tell you why. When Yisroi heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk says, Vayishma Yisroi, and Yisroi heard, Ubo, and he came. Rashi says, Shoma Uvo. He heard about the crossing of the Red Sea, and he, of course, was in the original convention when Bilam and Eiv were there, and they discussed Hava Nisrak Moloi, what to do with the Jewish problem. And Yisroi was fully aware of taking every child and drowning them in the sea. And now, when he heard that the whole Egyptian cavalry, the best and the elite of the Egyptian forces, were drowned in the sea, in the water, and he saw Mido Keneged Mido, immediately he packed his bags and immediately went to join Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. But 1 minute, all of humanity knew about Kriyas Yamsuf. The Pasuk says, Shomu Amim V'yogozun Chilochaz Yoichezun. They became terrified. Every stretch of water in the world parted. So why was it that only Yisroi changed? Yisroi was the only human being in all of mankind who'd actually did anything about what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf. He packed his bags and off he went. And he joined Klal Yisrael. We can say that Yisroi did three things. Number one, he reacted to what he had heard. Number two, he reacted positively. And number three, spontaneously. He acted immediately. He didn't wait. In straight away, he did something about it. There's something behind Yisroi that we must a little go off the point, digress a little bit, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. I remember hearing from Rav Brevda, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, in a beautiful analysis, he once explained, where did Klal Yisrael begin? In Parshas Shemois. 70 souls came down to Mitzrayim, and the Shibud and the slavery and the persecution began. And then the Makos began in Parshas Vo'era. We're into the plagues, we're into the persecution, we're into the hardship, and the plagues also began as well in Parshas Boi, Makos Bekoiros, next Parsha, and we come to Korban Pesach, the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael, and then we come to Parshas Beshalach, where the incredible events of Kriyas Yamsuf took place. From Shmois, Vo'era, Boi, Beshalach. We now come to the most important Parsha in all of the Torah. What's it called? Parshas John, Parshas Peter, Parshas Benedict. He was a pope. He was a pagan priest. Is there no better name than you can call the Parsha of Kabbalah HaTorah than Parshas Yisrael? But the Torah wants to teach us something, said Rav Brevda, that when it comes to Torah, the most important thing is to react to what you heard. To react positively and spontaneously and do something about it. And not leave it just as a point of information and turn the news over to another channel and look at the sports news. That's not the way to do it. You must react to what you heard in Torah. And that's Matan Torah every year. You hear it again. It's as if you are standing at Sinai. La'anias Daiti, the same thing needs to be done in prayer. Every morning you come to the same words again. Rav Dessler writes in Michtav Melio, one of the greatest challenges in prayer is saying the same words over and over again, but you have to react. Yisroi had heard about every religion in the world. Nothing was new to Yisroi about religion, but this time he heard it and did something about it. In other words, prayer, which we're comparing to Torah itself, again, you come to the words, Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. Once again, you find the words, Moidim Anachnu Loch. Once again, you're coming to the words, Poiseach Es Yodecho Umasbia L'chol Chai Rotzoin. Once again, you're coming to the words, V'hoyu Hadvorim Ho'ele Asher Onoichi Metzavecho Hayoim. You have to react to the words, and you have to react positively. Each time, each day, and you have to react spontaneously. You can't leave it. In other words, this is the moment of prayer, and you have to take the moment, as they say, and run with it. Because the problem is, in a minute or two, or even less, the heart will shift, and it's on another trip. And you'll lose the moment. You have to react positively and spontaneously to the moment and do something about it. I would like to suggest that if these two women and Rav Levi would have waited a day or two and not immediately once they realize the problem to start to pray, but wait a week or two, then the emotion of the care and the involvement of each other, woman to each other, and also it would have dissipated. It goes because that's the lave. The lave which cares, the lave which is upset for somebody else, you must do something immediately. Take on a prayer, take on something, and react instantly, spontaneously, and then you have the ability to move on. Friends tell me that that's the reason why it took 32 years, because until they had a child, that's lave, gematria. Perhaps that's a remez from Shamayim, of the importance of the lave in prayer, and they both put their lave into, and they waited 32 years until they had a child, both women. The lave is the key, but the lave jumps and switches and travels from one to another in a second. Like a Yisroi, one has to do a Yisroi formula. When it comes to prayer, every time, these are the words in front of me for this minute, to react, to understand the words, to react positively and spontaneously. If you leave it, the heart is probably busy with another trip in a few seconds and onto something else. I wish you great Hatzlocha in the Yisro formula in prayer. Thank you.